ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, Chapter entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 63 and 64. Bhoja Vrishni Andhaka Madhu शूरसेना दशारकै शीलाघ नियेहित शश्वत कुरु संजय पांडुभी स्निग्धस्मितेक्षितो दारैर् वाक्यैर् विक्रमलीलया नृलोकं रमयामास मूर्त्या सर्वांगरम्यया। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Assisted by the descendants of Bhoja, Vrishni, Andhaka, Madhu, Shurasena, Dashara, Kuru, Sranjaya, and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. By his pleasing smiles, his affectionate behavior, his instructions and his uncommon pastimes like raising Govardhan Hill, the Lord, appearing in his transcendental body, pleased all of human society. Purport: The words Nrlokam Ramyayam Asa Murtyaya Sarvanga Ramyaya are significant. Krishna is the original form. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is therefore described here by the word Murtya. The word Murti means form. Krishna or God is never impersonal. The impersonal feature is but a manifestation of His transcendental body. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. The Lord is Narakriti, exactly resembling the form of a human being, but His form is different from ours. Therefore, the word Sarvanga Ramyaya informs us that every part of his body is pleasing for everyone to see. Apart from his smiling face, every part of his body, his hands, his legs, his chest, is pleasing to the devotees who cannot at any time stop seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. Gauranga Prabhu, from whom I have learnt everything, just taking water from the Ganges and giving it back to the Ganges. So here, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the sweetness of Krishna, how Krishna is so sweet. Every aspect of Krishna is so very sweet. We see the Vaishnava Acharyas, like Srila Vallabhacharya, he has written the Madhurashtakam. How everything about Krishna is Madhuram, very sweet. Generally, we don't consider sleep. Yes, sleep is an activity, but it's a passive activity. But how even Krishna sleeping is so sweet. And when Krishna talks while he is asleep, it is all the more sweet. So following in the footsteps of yesterday's speaker, I would quote Padyavali. Ete Lakshmana Janaki Virahinam Mam Khedya Yantyambude Marmani Vachaghatta Yantyalamami Krura Kadambanila इत्थं व्यार्थ पूर्व जन्म विरहो यो राधया वीक्षिता शीर्षं शंकितया च सुखयतु स्वप्नाय मानो हरि। The translation goes, Krishna is speaking these words in his sleep. O Lakshmana, now that I am separated from Janaki, these rain clouds torture me, and these cruel breezes blowing from the Kadamba flowers violently strike my heart. As Radha heard sleeping Krishna's description of his feelings of separation in a previous birth, she became frightened and filled with jealous anger. And then the writer concludes, "May dreaming Lord Krishna delight you all." So when anything that Krishna does is filled with sweetness, when we dream, it's generally horror dreams. But when Krishna dreams, not only is it sweet to himself, but it's sweet to the entire world. 5,000 years later, we are relishing the sweetness of Krishna's dream. So that's how Krishna is so sweet. When Srila Prabhupada would stay at Los Angeles temple, he used to spend his evenings at his favorite garden there. He used to go there with some of his disciples and he would hear from Krishna book daily. So Shruti Kirti Prabhu, at that time he was not Prabhupada's personal servant, he had the privilege of reading out Krishna book to Srila Prabhupada every day. And he noticed that Prabhupada liked the killing pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. So one day he was reading the pastime of deliverance of Dvivida gorilla. So he was reading. Often he, Dvivida, would go to the hermitages of great saintly persons and sages and cause a great disturbance by smashing their beautiful garden and orchards. So when Prabhupada heard this, he became very amused and he started smiling. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu was very excited also because he was narrating it to Prabhupada. So then Shruti Kirti Prabhu read further. Not only did he create disturbances in that way, but sometimes he would pass urine and stool on their sacred sacrificial arena. So when Prabhupada heard this, he started laughing so loud that Shruti Kirti Prabhu had to stop reading. And Prabhupada was so laughing so loudly and, you know, slapping his thighs, uproarious laughter. So everyone seeing Prabhupada laugh, they became very amused. They became very happy. Because Prabhupada was from, perhaps he was seeing the pastime also. So next day, when it was again time for reading Krishna book, Prabhupada was sitting and Shruti Kirti Prabhu, as soon as he took this Krishna book, he started searching for very exciting pastimes. Because yesterday Prabhupada was very amused hearing the killing of Dvivida gorilla. So he felt some exciting pastime has to be there. So he started searching. Immediately Prabhupada stopped him. He said, "Go on, read from anywhere. Krishna is like a sweet ball. Wherever you bite, it tastes good." And then Shruti Kirti Prabhu understood and he took whatever pastime he got and continued reading it. So the point is, Prabhupada, he not only relished these sweet pastimes of Krishna, but he was so eager and enthusiastic about giving it to the entire world. We are approaching the 10th canto. So it's appropriate at this particular point of time to actually contemplate how much more Prabhupada was eager to give these sweet pastimes of Krishna's activities from the 10th canto to the entire world. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he started translating Srimad Bhagavatam while he was in India. And he came up with the first canto. And then when he went to the West, he started continuing his translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he was continuing with the translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, after going to America, suddenly he felt that he may not be able to give the 10th canto also to the world. He didn't know how long he would live because he already had two major heart attacks. One on the Jaladuta and once after reaching America. So he wasn't sure how long he's going to stay, but he was so desperate to give the pastimes of the 10th canto, the sweet pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto to the entire world, that he started the project of giving Krishna book. Even though it was not in the format of the regular Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, Prabhupada wanted to give the Srimad Bhagavatam in this pattern. That is, the text, the word-to-word meaning, translation, and purport. Why? Because it was very authoritative, especially to the scholarly world. He wanted to present an authoritative translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam to the scholarly world. But Prabhupada kept that aside and gave a narrative translation for the 10th canto, especially because he was eager to give the sweet pastimes of Krishna to the entire world. And when a pure devotee is so eager to share the sweet pastimes of Krishna to the world, how wonderfully Krishna reciprocates. It's very interesting. How there is a competition between the Lord and his devotees. Now, to publish any book was always a struggle for Srila Prabhupada. While he was in India, even though he was writing the first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi, to publish, no money. So to publish one of the volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was trying to approach so many people, and one of them suggested that why don't you go to Gorakhpur? Hanuman Prasad Poddar, the Gorakhpur press owner, he gives a lot of charity. So he might agree to publish your edition of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada, hearing this offer, because he didn't have money to publish, he traveled from Delhi to Lucknow, to Gorakhpur, a distance of 475 miles. And on the day he embarked on the journey, the balance in his daily ledger, it showed 130 rupees. He had simply 130 rupees in hand. So he started from Delhi. By the time he reached Lucknow, the money that was left with him was 57 rupees. And to go from Lucknow to Gorakhpur took another 6 rupees. So by the time he reached Gorakhpur, he had only 51 rupees left. That means no money to return. Total 130 rupees. Out of that, only 51 rupees are left. So more than half the money is consumed in traveling to Gorakhpur alone and no money to return back. So that was the financial constraints under which Prabhupada was publishing volume after volume of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even after reached US, there was not much finance. Because initially, the people who wanted to help Srila Prabhupada were coming from hippie background. They didn't have a lot of money. So it was always a struggle. Money was always a struggle for Prabhupada. But when he embarked upon the Krishna book project, he published the Krishna book. And how eager was Prabhupada to share the sweet pastimes of Krishna in Krishna book. And he wanted to present it to the world in a very classy format. A good binding and good layout and a classy format. And just at that particular point of time, George Harrison comes to the picture. It looks as if Krishna is reciprocating with Prabhupada's desire to share Krishna's pastimes with the world. Krishna's intense desire to share Krishna's pastimes with the world. Krishna is reciprocating with Prabhupada by sending George Harrison. Now Krishna, through one activity, he can accomplish so many things. But if you look at things from this particular angle, it looks as if Prabhupada has been struggling for money for so long, but when he desires to share Krishna's pastimes with the world, a big man comes into the picture just to finance Prabhupada's book. And Prabhupada took a lot of risk to do that also. Generally, you know, those who are preaching, especially to the elite class, we know that generally the wealthy people, they are little suspicious if anyone is trying to come close to them, for good reasons. Because most of the time, people try to develop a relationship with them to get some money or get some favor. So generally, they are very suspicious and they keep distance from people. But when, while preaching to George, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Mukund Maharaj, they are very careful not to ask anything from George. And George liked it very much, that these people are not after my money. And they used to simply talk to George about various things, but never ask George for anything. And George sometimes, out of his own sweet will, he used to provide some help or provide some money. You know, that's how they were getting close to George, by not asking for money. But imagine Prabhupada's eagerness to give Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's sweet pastimes to the entire world. Prabhupada took a big risk when he asked Shyam Sundar Prabhu, tell George to give some money. And not a small amount, $19,000, a huge amount. It was a big risk. No big man is coming to your movement. And at last one person is showing some interest. And this could well drive him away. But still, you are ready to take that risk. Why? Because you are eager to give Krishna's sweet pastimes to the entire world. So he told Shyam Sundar Prabhu, ask. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, no, how can I? I can't. I don't have such a relationship with George. Prabhupada still said, no, you should ask. So one night, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was sitting with George Harrison. And George, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was looking for the right opportunity to ask for money. And then he said, Prabhupada is wanting to print Krishna book. So if you could please donate $19,000. So just at that particular point of time, there was lightning and the lights went off. George Harrison was about to tell something. Perhaps, are you also asking for money or something? Maybe, who knows. Just at that particular point of time, the lights went off. And when the lights came back again, George had sufficient time to contemplate. And he said, why not? We'll publish the Krishna book. So one senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada was telling that under Krishna's direction, material energy was cooperating with Prabhupada by providing lightning and turning off the lights, just so that Krishna book could be published. So in this way, the Krishna book was published. Now I take you to same year, little later, the Rath Yatra at San Francisco. It was July 5th, 1970. And more than 10,000 people had attended the Rath Yatra. Huge success. 10,000 people. They chanted and danced. And Prabhupada himself had danced. And then there was a lecture on the beach. And Prabhupada had happily seen his disciple distribute thousands of, you know, prasadam plates to the people who had assembled. And then as the ceremony was going to end, suddenly a disciple, he came with advanced copies of first volume of Krishna book. Half a dozen. First volume of Krishna books. Advanced copies. So as soon as Prabhupada saw Krishna book, he became especially pleased. And Sasurup Maharaj in Lilamrit, he describes this incident as if in slow motion. How Prabhupada held that book in hand, newly printed, just published book, silver cover, full size photograph of Radha Krishna, and the letters Krishna written in red. Prabhupada examined the print, the paper, the binding. Then he smiled. Then he opened the book. Very nice, he said. And then he started reading his book. And after reading for some time, he said, "This book, Krishna, has newly come out, and everyone should have a copy." And people were watching Prabhupada do all this, and everyone was so enthusiastic to buy the book. People were literally fighting to buy a copy. "I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it." And there are only 6 copies. And Prabhupada sold all of them without even keeping a copy for himself. And many devotees felt later that this incident was the highlight of the entire Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra, thousands of people came, prasadam was distributed. So many things happened, so much management, so many things happening. But this, they felt, was the highlight. The last few moments, and Prabhupada distributed the Krishna book with his own hands. So Prabhupada was not simply eager to get Krishna book published, and he took all the risk to publish Krishna book, but he was eager and enthusiastic to see that more and more people could relish Krishna's sweet pastimes. And how wonderfully Krishna reciprocated with this desire of Srila Prabhupada. What did Krishna do? Krishna made the most popular, the most famous person on the planet, the sales boy for Prabhupada's Krishna book, George Harrison. Now, what was the fame of the Beatles at that time? People were crazy, literally. Magazines after magazines spoke about them. And the Beatles, when they visited America, the American youth were crazy after the Beatles. Americans, the politicians, the heads of states of America, they started fearing that there will be another British invasion. This time, culturally, there will be invasion of America once again by the Britishers, because the Beatles were British. And some time ago, Gaurangpur was telling in a class that on George Harrison's 21st birthday, I think there were 7 truckloads of greeting cards that came to him. 7 truckloads of greeting cards. Many times, people don't even know it's our birthday. And if someone comes to know, we feel very grateful. At least one person knows. 7 truckloads. It was an event for the post office also. 7 truckloads. That was the fame of the Beatles. And if the Beatles stayed at a particular hotel, the hotel's fortune would change overnight. Why? Because after the Beatles left, they would auction whatever the Beatles used at that hotel, including the bath towels. That would be auctioned. And how they would auction it? They would cut the bath towel into 1 square inch pieces. And each square inch of that bath towel would be distributed, would be auctioned for thousands of dollars. That was the craze of the Beatles. And George Harrison, the guitarist, and Krishna made him the sales boy for Krishna book. And George Harrison gladly accepted that role. And so Prabhupada called him a nice boy. Many years later, one fan of George Harrison had come to meet Prabhupada. And someone told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, he's a fan of George Harrison." He was a boy, basically, who had come to meet Prabhupada. So, "Prabhupada, this boy is a fan of George Harrison." Prabhupada said, "Oh, George Harrison, he's also a nice boy. He told it in front of his fan. So how was George the sales boy of Krishna book? Because he agreed to write the foreword for the Krishna book. So at that particular point of time, to sell Krishna book became very easy because of George. All you have to tell in America, if you show that book to someone, all you have to say is the foreword to this book is written by George Harrison. And without a word, the person would buy it. Quickly, Krishna books were going, like anything. At least in the initial period, practically, book distribution was Krishna book distribution. Because of George Harrison. In fact, one day in New York, in a single day, 18,000 three-volume sets of Krishna book were distributed. In a single day, 18,000 sets of Krishna book were distributed. In a single day in New York City alone, you can just imagine, for that to happen, the sales has to be really quick. That means you just have time to show the foreword that this is written by George Harrison and the book has to go. This was an easy technique for the devotees to sell Krishna book. Radhana Swami Maharaj, he shares this story that when he came to Bombay and he came to Cross Maidan, he happened to come to Cross Maidan when Prabhupada was having his Pandal program there. So when he entered the tent, he was staying in the Himalayas for some time, so he looked like a typical Himalayan sadhu. Unshaven and long hairs, matted hairs. So he went to the book table and there was Tushta Krishna Prabhu standing at the book table. So when Maharaj talked to him, Tushta Krishna Prabhu was surprised. You know English? Because he looked like a sadhu. You know English? Maharaj said, yes, I know English. How do you know English? Who taught you English? So Maharaj said, I'm from America. So as soon as Tushta Krishna Prabhu heard that Maharaj was from America, he immediately applied his technique for book distribution. He immediately took out the Krishna book and showed. The foreword is written by George Harrison. Because that was a standard technique for Americans. Just show them that George Harrison has written the foreword. George Harrison has written the foreword. He likes this book. He reads this book. Sufficient. So he used the same technique with Maharaj also. But of course, Maharaj wasn't impressed because Maharaj had different idols and role models by that time. But you can imagine how Krishna book was sold at that particular point of time. So in this way, Krishna was helping Srila Prabhupada at every level to help him give this sweet pastimes of Krishna to the entire world, to the extent that he made George Harrison a sales boy for him. And then Prabhupada, you know, carried on with his translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam canto by canto. And generally, for neophyte devotees like myself, when we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, it generally seems to be boring. We feel that, okay, what happened next? What is the storyline? And the purport seems to be like philosophy. So, lesser the purports, the new devotees feel little happy. No, less proper stories is going fast. And especially in the first canto, Prabhupada takes great pain. So many sages came to Bhishmadev to meet him. And Prabhupada goes on to explain every sage. Never heard of before sages. He takes great pain to explain all those sages. Now, this sage has two names or three names. All those things he goes on explaining. So a neophyte devotee cannot understand. And he feels that lesser the purports, the better it is. But actually the essence of, actually the purports are perhaps more important than the translation itself. That is why Prabhupada gave elaborate purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we carefully observe, beyond the eighth canto, it looks like even Prabhupada doesn't want to give purport. Forget about us wanting to read purport. He doesn't want to give purport. Looks like he's in a hurry. Especially of the eighth canto. Now, purports start coming once in 7 verses, once in 10 verses. And as the canto progresses, sometimes no purports in an entire chapter. Only translations, only translation. Looks like Prabhupada is in a hurry. Why is he hurrying? That we come to know when we reach the 10th canto. Again he starts giving elaborate purports. It's like if we are hurrying to catch a train. We are hurrying. But once we catch the train, if we are still hurrying, then there is something wrong with us. So once we catch the train, we are hurrying to catch the train. Once we catch the train, we become relaxed again. So it looks as if Prabhupada is in a hurry to give the pastimes of the 10th canto, and he was hurrying from the 8th canto, 9th canto, and when he reaches the 10th canto, again he starts giving elaborate purports once again. And he is translating, giving purports to first chapter of the 10th canto, second chapter, third chapter. In this way he is progressing. And then there is killing of the Putana demon, that particular chapter. I'm looking for one particular line. After the Putana pastime is over, it looks like, you know, Prabhupada has decided that he's going to leave the material world. So Prabhupada's way of giving the Krishna book was like a dying father. This example was given by Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Like a dying father wanting to tell his son about a treasure which the son doesn't know about. So the father is about to die, and he knows that if I die now, my son won't be knowing that I have left behind a great treasure. So in a hurry, when he's about to die, in a hurry, he immediately explains to him, not in a legal language, but in whatever words he can put together, he tells him, my dear son, there is a treasure here and here, and then you can take this treasure and use it for yourself. So Prabhupada's giving of the Krishna book was something like that. He didn't know how long he was going to live. So before he died, he wanted to give this treasure of Krishna's sweet pastimes. So in a hurry, he immediately gave the Krishna book. Now, again here, it looks like, you know, Prabhupada is coming into that mood again of a dying father. After the Putana episode is over, now that Prabhupada has decided that he is going to leave the material world, so again he is reminding his sons of the hidden treasure. This is unusual because this is in the middle of the 10th canto. 10th canto purport is going on, which is all about Krishna's pastimes, and in the middle of that, Prabhupada writes, Krishna has left us many wonderful narrations about him. Simply by reading these narrations, as they are described in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gains salvation from this material world and gradually develops attachment to Krishna and devotional service for Govinda, Adi Purusha. It's unusual that Prabhupada is speaking about Krishna's transcendental pastimes in the middle of the translation of the 10th canto. He's in a hurry again. He doesn't want the people of this world to miss out the sweet pastimes of Krishna. So as if he's telling that I won't be able to complete it, but I have left all these narrations in Krishna book. So we see, right from his translations of the first canto till the translation of the 10th canto, we can see Prabhupada's eagerness to give the world the sweet pastimes of Krishna, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, before we start the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I thought it would be nice if you could analyze how Prabhupada had that eager desire to share these sweet pastimes of Krishna with us, which we are going to relish in a few days from now. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.